So, Laura, okay, making sure you're here. I have preached in front of a lot of people that I respect. Like, I preached at Highland for years in front of, you know, Randy Harris and people like that. But this is a little intimidating because we're doing this tonight in front of Kathy Stevens, who has been doing this stuff for... How long have you been doing this, Miss Kathy? What we're talking about. But years. Like the stuff that I think we told you last week that this is sponsored by Dallas Willard. You've been doing Dallas Willard for groups all over, really central Arkansas, for a variety of Christians. So so glad that you're interested in what we're doing, and thank you for all the ways you serve, including, by the way, PV. There's been a group of PV people that Steve and Kathy have been helping for the last almost year now. Okay, so we're going to talk tonight. How long does it take to become a Christian?
Lifetime.
A moment and a lifetime. That's right. It's one of those things that is both an event and a process. And we're talking about spiritual formation with this, but spiritual formation is not a Christian thing. It's a human thing, right? Like, everybody's being spiritually formed all the time. And the question is, do you like the person you're becoming? We're all disciples of something or someone. We're all following something. And our habits are a great symptom of what it is we are following or what kind of person we're becoming. So last week we told you about Cartesian think, you know, I think, therefore. Yeah, that we think that, you know, pouring information in the brain is what shapes us. And it does shape us, but it is not the primary thing that shapes us. In the words of Mark Twain, he who holds a cat by the tail learns a lesson he can learn no other way. Right?
Amen.
That's right. And the Bible is pretty honest about this. So think about what Paul talks about in Galatians. Like, so you reap what you sow. What you do over time is going to be who you become. And so Paul says, so sow into the Spirit. So your habits are not just something that you do. They are stuff that is done to you as well. Okay, so this is where things are going to get just a bit dicey. If you got a phone, go ahead and get it out. Because how many of y'all have iPhones? All right, so I don't know how it works on Androids, but trust me on this. I'm going to go first. If you go to settings on your phone, and then you click on screen time, it's going to immediately tell you something. And I want to share it. I want us to share it with people next to us, okay? So if you don't mind, and this is under the love and grace of Jesus Christ, we're all, but I'm going to go first, and I'm going to tell you what mine is. And I knew this was coming! So that's mine. You want to say that out loud?
Is that for the week?
No, that's... It's in all love and grace, Laura. No, that's the daily average. Okay. Yeah. That feels like a judgy nod, Laura. It's... You want to say it out loud?
2 hours and 41 minutes. Of his day.
Well, I knew this was of his day.
Of his day.
Yeah. And that's me knowing this is coming. It also says, because my iPhone's also judgy, is 23% down from last week. Because I thought last week, there's no way I want them to see that. All right. Break, pair and share, just 30 seconds. Share what your number is. If you're okay with it, or... Brother Fred has zero. Yeah. Okay, let's bring it back in. Anybody think you have the highest number? Can anybody beat 2 hours and 41 minutes? Okay, yeah, Laura. Okay, do you want to yell at what your number is or no? It's okay if you don't. Okay, 4 hours and 45 minutes. Yeah, see, Laura, okay. anybody else?
455.
Blake, what was it?
455.
455, Brother Don, Blake.
I beat my wife by 2 minutes, that's all.
Oh, okay, that's right. It's like...
There's something wrong with her phone.
Oh, it's like there's being chased by an angry bear, right?
I am an insurance agent. I have to have my phone.
Yeah.
Is that the excuse for
you? Yeah, that's right, Keith. It's like also... Yeah, I mean,
552.
How about 10?
552? Okay. All right.
10 over here.
10?
Yeah.
Like hours? Oh, sorry. I thought... Okay, all right, yeah. Okay, I really don't, because if I wouldn't have known this was coming, you know, you could get me on weeks where it would have been a lot worse for sure. But here's why I bring that up when we talk about habits, because habit is not just something you do. Has anybody else noticed that you've been formed by your iPhone or your phone, whatever it is? Or if you don't have a smartphone, then God bless you. It is one of those technologies that we just uncritically allowed into our life. And now, after a decade of it, we are noticing. It's done something to us. So the data is out there. The average person interacts with their phone 2,617 times a day and uses it for over 2.5 hours. That's the average for, you know, like 70 to 80 times. You know, like slot machines? You know, slot machines make more money than the film industry and baseball combined, even though it's just a small amount of money. And they do that the same way that your iPhone or smartphone works. Little bitty habits that... So our attention span in 2000, before the digital revolution, our average person's attention span is 12 seconds. Now, today, it's... 8 seconds. To put that in perspective, a goldfish has an attention span of 9 seconds. So we're losing to goldfish. So here's where we start to get into kind of what we want to talk about tonight, because our system is designed to get the results that we're currently getting. And you know, there's great levels of mental health and anxiety and depression, and no judgment here. I've struggled with all that. But part of it is we cannot practice the presence of God at 8 seconds attention span or with the kind of, you know, habits that we have uncritically invited into our life. And by the way, you may have anxiety or depression. It has nothing to do with that. That has nothing to do with that, but you might. And one of the things we want to do tonight is ask God, why don't you check on your habits? So there are a lot of good habits in the Bible. Just the word habit comes from the word habit. Matter of fact, you all know this. Hebrews 10:25, right? What is Hebrews 10:25? Do not forsake the assembly. Dalen, say it. You know it. As some of you are in the habit of doing. That's right. So it's talking about what we habitually do. Prayer is another one that specifically talked about. Romans 12:12. When trials come, endure them patiently, steadfastly maintain the habit of prayer, the habit of study. James 1:25, and this is just the word. It's all throughout the Bible, the concept of people doing it, right? Like Daniel praying. But just the passage of it being like commended to us, create habitual practices. So study, James 1:25, the man who looks into the perfect law and has a habit of doing so, or And by the way, this is important because if you went to a cafeteria and there was pre-chewed food, you would have a problem with that. Don't let me do all the chewing, right? Like, there's something that happens in reading the scripture and letting the word of God speak to you. Don't let, you know, somebody on a podcast or a live stream do that. It's talking about engaging regularly with the kind of written revelation of God. Habit of giving. That's a big habit. On 1 Corinthians 16, Paul is talking about set aside every Sunday. You know, it's just trying to get us doing habits. So Steve Jobs, one of his favorite sayings was the first 30 years of your life, you make your habits. And the next 30 years, your habits make you. So tonight, what we want to do, because this is not just about information, in fact, it's not even primarily about information, is we're going to do a habit audit. And that's where I turn it over to Laura, who's gone through, she's going, getting this master's in spiritual formation and
leadership.
And leadership at Friends University.
Christian.
Yeah, that's right. Formation. Everybody's getting spiritually formed. So Christian, a specific kind.
Yeah.
And you've gone through this like habit audit. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about that?
So Andy, Roger, and Kevin are going to hand out to you, and Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl. They're going to hand out to you a handout for you to take home with you. We'll talk a little bit about it here. But to go back to what Jonathan was saying and add one to his habits, we're encouraged to keep in step with the Spirit. And Paul is contrasting that with not keeping in step with the Spirit. But how do you walk in step with somebody if you aren't with them? Like, you can't do the, you know, the monkey walk where they cross legs and stuff and or a three-legged race without being next to and with somebody. So walking with the Spirit is part of the habit that we're also talking about. That's kind of the end goal, because as I said last week, this isn't a sprint and it's not a marathon. We are walking into eternity with a God who loves us, who is calling us, who is welcoming to us, who wants so much for us to be a part of an eternal life, an eternal kingdom with him. And that's, so why are we doing habits? Well, Jordan used to teach financial peace here. And financial peace is a financial budgeting program. And one of the things that we did in that class was we wrote down our spending habits. Before we did anything else, we introduced ourselves to each other. We just wrote them down. Be as honest as you can. Be clear. Be specific about what you spend your money on. When you start Noom or many dieting programs, they have you keep a journal, a food journal. What are you eating? And part of that's to get a baseline. But part of that is to help you personally incorporate and, for me, eating, admit to those things that maybe aren't the best thing for me, that are maybe distracting me from other things. Things that I think are more important, things that I say are more valuable, things that I say I want to spend my time on, but I just don't have time for that right now. But if I think about what I'm spending my time on, and that's part of the purpose of this process we're starting. This is not for grades. It's not even to share. It's a structure just to help you think through what you're doing now. What distracts you from a life with Jesus? Mm. What distracts you from participating in those things that are truly life-giving to you and life-affirming to you? What prevents you from taking that quiet time? Are there other activities? And so Jonathan had said last week, we talked about, you know, creating a rule of life. This is not the rule. This is not the rhythm of life that we're talking about, other than it's assessing your rhythm. What beat are you walking to right now? What are you engaged in right now? And the idea of a rhythm or a rule of life, as Jonathan said last week, it's the trellis on which your life grows. It's just a structure. It changes over time. It's living. It's dynamic. It has a long history of Christian tradition, and it's become increasingly in our time a very valuable, very cherished exercise to help us build out what we do here on Sundays into the rest of our lives so that we can be the people who God created us to be, who we're gifted to be, who we're invited to be, walking in the Spirit and ministering to our community. Following Jesus, building bridges, and making disciples. That's our vision here. Well, that's as mundane and routine as it seems, and as remote from this little practice, this little exercise you're going to take home with you. That's what we're looking forward to. So how do we get there from here, and how do we replace the habits we have? Because you can't really break a habit. You have to replace the habits we have with new habits. Mm-hmm. We know that from sociology and psychology and other studies that are done. Atomic Habits is a reference if you want to read up on that. But the idea of a trellis, and this is in the handout, you know, it's a vine needs a trellis to lift it up off the ground so it can bear the maximum amount of fruit, keep free from predators and diseases, and we need a rule like that. We need a structure like that in our lives because, you know, we're human. And again, to repeat something Jonathan said last week that's so important, this is not about earning.
Yeah.
You're not performing here. You're living a life before God, a loving God who loves you, a God who dwells within you and invites you to participate in his kingdom. That's the message of the gospel we've been repeating. The gospel isn't opposed to effort. After all, we do have to walk with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. We can't sit on our butts with the Spirit, right? So, and it, you know, we said this last week. We hear a bunch of and we hear some amens, and we hear that, you know, that vocal announcement. But how are we changing? How are we following? And that's what this little exercise is about. We're following the language of the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord with
all your heart.
All your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. That gives us some language and some structure that we're accustomed to in this community. It can help other people understand what we're doing. We're trying to be holistic in the way we live as we follow Jesus. And so as you consider, let's go through this for a minute. So on page one, which has green border on it, it's probably the second, third page in that you have. In the upper left-hand corner, it says Personal Practices Assessment Guide. This is where you can reflect on what you do daily, weekly, quarterly, and yearly for your body, your mind, your soul, and your spirit. And then the next page, page two, is communal practices. What do you do in your family, in your neighborhood, in your worship, and as you're in formation? You might be in small groups, for example. Mm-hmm. When you're in community, what are you doing now? How is that helping you? You're not actually getting to that point, but you're writing down, you're cataloging. What do I do? What do I do? The next two pages are for what you propose, personally and then communally.
Is this like what you wish you did?
Well, or what you'd like to do. So, for example, when I started, this was a graded exercise in my class, mostly just to help us process it and do it, and to take some other tools that we were using as well. But, you know, my personal assessment started with trying to sleep 8 hours. As I've said, I didn't do that. I try and move a little bit. I'm For my mind, I'm taking classes and I'm trying to read and I'm working. For my soul and spiritual time, I was reading through the lectionary, which is from the Book of Common Prayer. It's just reading Bible scripture, and then I try and go outside and take a picture of the sunrise.
Huh.
And on a personal daily experience in COVID, I got to see Kevin, my husband, in the back. And I also interacted with an online group. So that was my assessment. For my communal assessment, I had two things. I post Facebook pictures and encouragement for women at PV, because I was maintaining the Facebook page for PV, and I met with this group online, and that was all the community I had. I'd stopped going to church, I was taking care of my parents, I was too busy. For that season of my life, that's all I could record. That's just how it is for seasons. The hope is that you'll get beyond that, and that you'll want to. And so the guide is to write down what you're doing now, typically a few days in your life. And if you know you do things like, I go hunting with my children, or I go garage sailing with my sisters, or you know, whatever those communal things are, whatever those personal things are that you might do weekly, monthly, annually, go ahead and write those down. And fill them out. They might take up a couple different boxes that you have. They might meet both physical and soul spiritual needs, because if you're doing yoga and that's something that appeals to you and you're praying during that time, you're doing holy yoga, which is one of the classes that was offered here at Family Life Center,
huh. You
might put that in there. Welcome to PV.
Yeah, that's right. It's more welcome to yoga. I don't know if you can tell by my body, but I'm not...
Excuse me.
Yeah.
So once you write all this down, it's great to keep that log, but then reflect on it.
Mm-hmm.
And probably of all the questions that were most helpful to me and the most challenging to me was, what is God saying to me about the way I spend my time? What is God saying to me about the way I spend my time, this life I've been given? What does that mean? Is that what you want? Is what you have what you want? A way of saying yes to one thing is a way of saying no to another. You can't be a basketball player like Michael Jordan and not practice every day. You can't be a skater. You can't be an architect. You can't be a paralegal or a firefighter without having incorporated both mind and body and all of that into whatever that purpose is that you have for your life. And what part of what we're talking about here is building out your purpose beyond your occupation and making it your vocation of being a disciple of Jesus and helping other people meet him and become his disciple as well.
Can I jump in for just a second? So I've had this conviction for several years, the American church has to go deeper, right? We talked about that last week. You've been super helpful in this with the training that you're getting now, but she gave me a book, Sacred Wonder, that to help prepare for this. And the reason I like this metaphor, it builds on what you just did. Andrew Luck, anybody know who Andrew Luck is? Quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts for a long time. He was interviewed on a podcast a couple of years ago, and they asked him, what are you thinking about when you drop back in the pocket? And he said, if I'm thinking about anything when I drop back in the pocket, something has gone wrong. That's why I practice. That you're getting, it's all instinct. And this is kind of what this is. Just so it's not abstract and ethereal and like, you are habituating in your body the kind of person that you are going to become. And the way of Jesus is what we're trying to get our habits to line up with. And that's one of the ways we go deeper. That's why we're starting by talking about habits.
So for those, you know, once you get done, you asked if it's what you want to do or where you hope to be, but reflect and pray. Reflection is not common to a lot of people in our busy, busy world. So part of what I learned today is that a good friend of mine who had a presentation to do tonight, like, had back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back meetings, and just was back-to-back-to-back-to-back. There's no cushion, there's no margin, there's no time to breathe, there's hardly time to have a glass of water. And we live in that environment. For those people who are working 8 to 5, it's really hard to get here by 6:30, but you wouldn't want to come any later because you won't be able to get home because you'd be too tired. For those of you who have kids, I applaud you. I don't know how you do it. We've not had children, don't have that experience, but how you structure that time is really important. You have a bedtime routine with your kids, probably, or you did when they were much younger, if they are teenagers, and you know, you don't tuck them in now when they're teenagers. That season has left, but you have patterns and rhythms that you do, and part of that is, as you know, they need time to slow down. You need time to slow down. Unplug your phone. Turn off the TV. Take the 45 minutes before bed and no screens, maybe. Maybe that's something that you aspire to. But reflect and build on what you'd like to do. I'm not talking about navel gazing. If you don't like sitting still, and there are many of us who do not, take a walk. Take a walk with your cell phone and do a little dictation about what it is you're thinking about how this experience of looking at your life has impacted you. You don't have to do it sitting still in a room in the dark with a candle. You can be outside. You can be shooting hoops and telling your buddy. You can be in life group and hanging out at dinner and potluck and sharing your experience with this exercise. You don't have to close off, mm-hmm. because eventually we'll begin to understand, as Jesus did, that your spiritual growth is personal, but it's not private.
Okay.
Your spiritual growth, who you are becoming in Jesus, is about how you live in the world. That's what Jesus did. Who Jesus became was how he lived in the world. And he did that by practicing a bunch of stuff we've talked about, we'll talk about again. But that's how he embodied God. That's how people could see that he was different. He practiced by himself, and that part's personal. Some of the things he did were personal. The disciples didn't see him every time he prayed, and he went off by himself. But then he embodied the presence of God in him, and he brought that grace to other people. Mm. So it's personal. But what's happening, when you're having a crappy day, do people around you know it?
Yeah.
When it's just not, it just isn't flowing today. When you're having a bad day, people around you know it. Have you ever seen Jim Wood without a smile on his face?
Huh.
Or Bill McCauley? Or Linda Smith without a twinkle in her eye?
Mischievous twinkle.
Judgment.
That's true.
Have you ever seen Roger Rowe not be willing to stop and say hello? If you know Wes and Marianne, they've been on mission for decades. Mm. If you know Bob Walters, as Jonathan has said before, he's a gifted man who shares his gifts. Those things are part of who they are. It comes to them after years, but it comes to them now effortlessly as the quarterback. It's how they live, and it's how they see the world. And that's what we're talking about. So think about the values that you express in the way you spend your time. And then finally, think about how you would like to align your values, your core values, with what you believe.
Yeah.
And how you practice and what you do. So just as a brief example, when I had a vision, my vision was to come alongside women seekers. It still is. Mm. I've been in jail ministry for a few years. I've been a volunteer here in women's ministry for a few years. And those experiences helped me understand that one of the things that I seem to be good at sometimes is to help women focus on their own gifts and to bring those out and share them with other people. And I'm also found a kind of a strength as a teacher. So my core values are stillness, attention, and relationship in community. And so as I went forward in thinking about my own process, my aspirations are to fill in those values with behaviors and a schedule and a life commitment that kind of meshes with that while listening, always listening for the Holy Spirit.
So good, Laura. So this is like, you're getting like graduate level kind of stuff, but it's also really helpful in the way that there's, you know, a sermon can't change this. A sermon can't compete with 2 hours and 41 minutes in my case, of a habit that I have allowed into my life. So in the Gospel of John, it's bookended with Jesus asking two questions. In the beginning, he asks the question, what do you want? Which is kind of what you heard Laura talking about.
Yeah.
And in the end, he asks, do you love me? What if I told you those were the same question? That what you want is, you want Jesus is wanting our habits to align with what we think we believe about him. Our habits, what we choose to spend our life doing, reflects our values, our beliefs. And if you plot out the course of your next 10 years with the habits you currently have, do you like the person you're becoming? That's what this will help us do. And so the assignment is, let's do this habit audit this week. Like, let's think about it. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, would I like the person, the trajectory that my life is on? And a conviction of mine is that the Western Church has lost sight of the fact that Jesus is a way of life. So I don't know about you, but growing up, I heard a lot about doctrine, theology, ethics. All of that is really good. I'm not trying to diminish that. But the first Christians in the book of Acts were known as the way. Last week we talked about Jesus began to both do and teach. And what disciples of Jesus Christ are doing is trying to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. Lifestyle is where the money is. And some of you already know this. So I saved this for tonight. This is Bill McCauley's funeral. And in it, when they're describing Bill's very good life, the way they describe it is, to the broader community, Bill talks about all the great stuff that he and Sonia did, how great of a family person he was. To the broader community, he was the bug man. The business he founded in 1976, he stated, belongs to the Lord, and he was just the manager. He was proud of the company he founded, proud to see it thrive and grow, and he gave away more than can be accounted for. This is what they said about him, how he invested in others. Now, here's the thing about Brother Bill. Brother Bill, in 1976, went up, and some of y'all have heard this story. He used to tell it. It was a core moment in his life. He went up on Pinnacle Mountain and made a promise to God. Does anybody remember what that promise was? It's all yours. He had what I would say is a spiritual encounter with God where he made a promise and he kept it. And you know why he went up on Pinnacle Mountain? Because Jesus did. Because that's the kind of stuff Jesus did. Like, it wasn't just believe in Jesus. It was literally like adopt the kind of rhythms of Jesus. And Brother Bill's moment of like pulling away, like he's trying to figure out what am I going to do in this kind of key moment in his life. And he goes up on Pinnacle Mountain. And I'm not saying you're going to find answers to your life or your future on Pinnacle Mountain. But what I am telling you is what he was doing was trying to model his actual lifestyle after Jesus. And let me tell you how that played out for me. And I bet a lot of people in this room, and I know a lot of people in Central Arkansas. The first way I knew about Brother Bill is that he was very rich, because I grew up poor, and he was not anymore. And he was very generous. So when my family was, decades ago, he loaned us his car. And we all went to the Tulsa workshop together. And he paid for gas and all that stuff because he wanted us to be able to do that. And when we said, thank you for loaning us your car, what did he say? It's not my car. And he did that for tons of people. He would not want me telling this story right now. But he's passed on. He's with the Lord. And I'm telling you this because we want to adopt the values of Jesus, the ethics of Jesus. All those are great and needed. But what we're trying to get at is the where the money is. If you do it in grace and you're not trying to earn this, but you're trying to literally follow Jesus in your actual life, it'll change us. It will change us for the better. It'll change us for the good of our city and the glory of God. So this week, that's what the assignment is, to kind of think through the life that we actually have. And this is a self-report. Like, you're not going to have to, I mean, they're not going to have to come back and like, you know, yeah.
No, you're not going to share and pair.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not doing that.
But it will be a helpful like baseline for us. Like, what kind of person do we want to be? Think through when this is one day written for you. What do you want it to say? And who is that? Annie Dillard. How you spend your days, of course, is how you spend your lives. And that's what we're kind of talking about now. How would Jesus live your life if he was in your body, in your family, in your neighborhood, and in your habits? So we're going to follow Jesus. First off, we've got to figure out who we've been following. Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the men and women that are here. God, please give us a hunger for this. Help us to have wisdom and courage as we consider our future and the persons that we are becoming. God, help us have humility before you as we are plotting out this. Help whenever we strike a habit that we're, you know, growing in and doing well, help us not to have pride or compare ourselves to others. And God, help us to also have humility when we feel embarrassed about a habit. Help us realize that every one of us is broken and fallen, and we're not more specially broken than other people. Help us to grow in your grace. Help us to receive your wisdom and receive your lifestyle as we think through how you would live our lives if you were in our bodies. In Jesus' name, we ask for your guidance this week. Amen. All right, go in peace.